Welcome, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You're listening to Ageless Health with Dr. Tom Rozelle. This podcast is brought to you for a lot of very special reasons. We want you to know the truth in so many different pieces of your health. We want to give you the tools, the opportunity, the information, the capacity to be able to take control, and it starts with information. Today, we're going to do a program that really has to do with everything that's happening around us. It has to do with the vaccines. It has to do with, you know, should I do it or shouldn't I do it? In my practice, over a period of the last 21, 22 months now, people will come up to me and said, what should I do? How should I handle this? What's the situation? Most of you are aware that there's something far more behind the scenes than what really meets the eye. And what we want to do is we want to talk a little bit about that today. We want to talk about this, in my opinion, this control piece that's forcing everyone to walk up like a set of lemmings and roll up their sleeves and getting these jabs and the sequela, the consequences that are coming about afterwards. And I just want to give you information. The data that I'm going to give you is referenceable. It's stuff that you can look up. But more importantly, there are things that you need to know about and take action steps. And that's what we're going to do. You need to know. You need to be your own advocate. When I wrote my book about 7-8 years ago, Ageless Health, Health is a Do-It-Yourself Program, the whole purpose of that was that your body has the amazing innate capacity to handle itself, providing that the systems are supported properly. It has no difference with this viral pattern that's out there or measles years ago or simply a normal run-of-the-mill cold. Your body's innate immune system is really what steps up. We get in trouble when our immune system is faltering simply because we're not supporting it properly. And that's what we're going to talk about. But we're going to talk about it in the reference range of these vaccines. What are they actually doing to our body? What are the statistics that you can reference that will really show you that in some situations have been hidden from you that are not being spoken about? And I'll let you make the decisions about that and what that really means and why you're being diluted and why information is being not only withheld, but perhaps in many situations altered. So I want to talk about is the vaccine relative to injury and damage and potential death more dangerous than the actual viral pattern today. And I'm going to give you some things that you need to look at. In September of 2021, just recently, an analysis on a conservative platform was developed as best case scenario of the COVID vaccine inoculations. And what it showed was simply this, is that the vaccines are five times more dangerous relative to life and death than the infection itself, but for people over 65 years of age. So seniors, if you will, if you want to put them in that category. And we all know that some seniors at 90 years old are healthier than some people who are 30 years old. And that's a whole story we can get into by itself. And younger people and children, the associated COVID shot as it's compared to COVID-19 can even be more pronounced, and we're going to deal with that. The data of higher vaccine rates do not show a correlation between lower infection rates. Why is it? In some situations, they're actually showing a far greater infection than if you hadn't gotten it at all. So the COVID shots are an epic failure. This is an analysis of a lot of information that's coming down. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, our old friends, right, reports that 30,000 spontaneous reports of hospitalizations and or deaths from people who are fully vaccinated, people who got the shots, one or two shots, and they all have their risk levels and some far more than others. So I want you to remember that as we go through. That's a big number when you want to do a comparative statistical analysis. 50% of the reported deaths are after COVID-19 vaccines. Those occur within 24 hours of the inoculation, 50%. And then 80% occur within the first week of the vaccine. That's something to scratch your head about and say, oh my gosh, what's going on? There was a Scandinavian report that 40% of the post jab deaths were among seniors living in assisted living. Here we go again. You know, we found out what happened last year, right? When we forced people to go on ventilators. We killed them because we ruptured the alveoli sac that was already inflamed and irritated, couldn't get any oxygen anyway. So now we're forcing it. So they began to bleed and they went into septic shock, which is a shutting down of so many systems across the board. So what we're going to talk about is what the real numbers are behind this. And again, what you should do about it to help yourself and help your family. There was an interesting global research report that came out October the 26th of this year, just a few days back, right? And it was published by Dr. Peter McCullough in a reviews findings of September 21, a study that was published in the journal Toxicology. I want to quote him. He says, a novel best case scenario cost benefit analysis showed very conservatively that there are five times the number of deaths attributable to each inoculation versus those that are attributed to COVID-19 directly. And the most vulnerable are the ones above 65 years of age. Did you hear that number? Five times the number of deaths that are attributable as a result of that vaccine. The death risk rate for COVID-19 decreases drastically with age as age decreases. So understand that as you are younger, the risk of dying from COVID-19, which we know that, and all the variants and so forth, is very, very low. Matter of fact, people who are getting this that are much younger, without comorbidities, obviously, without immune compromised situations, obviously, are basically recovering within days, sometimes 48 hours, 36 hours, sometimes a week, sometimes 10 days. And the symptom process is disconcerting from fever and respiratory stress and so forth, but not to the level that it should take their life in most situations, unless there's a lot of getting a call. He has impeachable academic got somebody to look and say, oh my gosh, turn it. He's an epidemiologist. He's a full professor of medicine at Texas A&M College of Medicine in Dallas. He also has a master's degree in public health and is known for being one of the top five published medical researchers in the United States. Great guy. I've known of him for a long time, and his work is really, in most cases, unimpeachable. It's not surprisingly that toxicology research papers have received scathing, if you will, critique from certain quarters. And I'll let you go out and finger point on those, because you know that there's a lot of different input with this. So I'm trying to be as kind as I possibly can, but let me give you a quote from a guy by the name of Kostoff. He went on to say that given the blatant censorship of mainstream media and social media, only one side of COVID-19 vaccine narrative is reaching the public. Why isn't it? And this is what you should say to yourself. Why isn't there multiple sides to this? Why isn't there three sides or four sides? And why isn't that debated objectively on public news, on CNN, on MSNBC, on Fox News, and so forth? Why is it that we're only receiving one scenario? I've been in practice over four decades, and I've learned to be very critical with any information that comes out, regardless of the side that it's being presented from. Make sure that you ask the question, why that piece of information is putting out there. Why is it that somebody who has no clinical background or academic expertise in the area of health is making the statements that they're made? Who is encouraging them or paying for them in many cases to do these things? We have to make sure that we understand that and we know what is being put forth, because when you don't have the privilege of vetting information on both sides, there's something that tells you it's not right. And when it's not right, if you get that gut level instinct that something is amiss, you have to stop and say, not only why, but where can I find it? Why is it being hidden? How is it affecting my life? I have to protect myself and my family. situation is this. I went in and, you know, with my eyes wide open and read a lot of different information, and I started looking at people who were vulnerable to this problem, this COVID-19 and other type of viral conditions and other pathogens and so forth. And all of this starts a year ago, actually in 2020, I think it was February when I first became a little bit aware of it, then March, everything fell apart. I was giving a presentation in Florida at the Association of Clinical Nutritionists, and there's about 200-300 people in the room, 250, I think. And I get a call from my son, text. He says, "Dad, get back into the Washington, D.C. area because everything is going to shut down." I had no idea what he was talking about, except there was this rumor about this viral pattern that was going to sweep through the country. Anyway, we all know what happened after that. So in the best published scenarios on this situation since then, the real world situation seems to be far worse than our best care scenario. And it needs to be evaluated. So let's talk about the COVID jab and the impact or loss of impact that it has across the board. There's a tremendous amount of data that masks and, has not had a discernible impact on global death rates. They've gone out, they've vaccinated all these people, and it doesn't make a difference. Maybe there are people dying of the sequela, the side effects of the vaccine that, would have made it through with the normal virus. Maybe those people who were in nursing homes last year, if they hadn't been put on ventilators, many of them would have still been alive. Maybe if we had supported them as we did with the Swedes, how the Swedish government took care of their own, maybe we wouldn't have the problem. Did you know that the Swedes have the lowest mortality, morbidity rate across the board of anybody in the planet? They're approximately number 40 on the hit list and not even close. How did they do that? Well, Sweden has, in my opinion, one of the only workable socialized healthcare systems on the planet. And what they do is twice a year, they have to have blood tests. And part of their blood testing is the vitamin D levels. And if their vitamin D levels are low, they are put on vitamin D. So when this COVID scenario comes out, everybody in Sweden, if their vitamin D levels are low, which is the majority of the population, by the way, now is put on vitamin D levels to bring it up to adequate support levels. Subsequently, they never isolated, they never masked, they didn't shut down their society, and they didn't have the death rates that the rest of the world did. They didn't have the morbidity rates that everybody else had. They came basically unscathed relative in comparison to everybody else. 68 countries have been included in a report that came out this last September on Our World in Data. This is a cross analysis that was published by the White House COVID-19 team for the United States. Interesting situation. And it compared population fully vaccinated. 68 countries were included, and they found some very interesting data that really should get most people's attention. The computed COVID-19 cases per 1 million people for each country and calculated percentages of the population that were fully vaccinated. And what they said is there was no discernible relationship, none, zero, between percentage of population fully vaccinated and new COVID-19 cases in the last 7 days of the analysis. That's craziness, right? So what they're saying is that it really didn't have an impact of anything else. But did you find out about that? No, not really. There was no reason for you to have that data. Kostoff, who we spoke about, the Kostoff analysis, getting back into toxicology reports, these were all references, Kostoff analysis. Dr. McAuliffe says that the analysis is definitely making news in clinical medicine, slowly, by the way, seeping out there, by the way. But determinism describes how likely something is. So this is what they're trying to do. Is it probable? Is it likely that you will end up with a problem because of. So, for example, if a person takes a COVID-19 shot, is it 100% certain that they got the injection? It's not. It's 50 or 75% certain that they got it. And there's a lot of rumor out there that some of the shots are pure saline, and some of the people that say that they got the shot really didn't get the shot. And a lot of this is just, you know, conversational, except for, and that's not accurate, the ones that are going in the national database. As a result, that person has a 100% chance of being exposed to whatever risk is associated with that shot. Well, you know, I want you to think about that a little bit. So as they break it down, the other part of the equation is the assumption, which is based on calculation using available data such as pre-COVID death statistics and COVID-19 filed with the U.S. Vaccine Adverse Reporting, or the VAERS system. And by the way, the VAERS system is a voluntary reporting agency. So if doctors report the case, it might go there. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. The projection is that it's about 10% of what really is going on. McCullough noted that the reports have detailed COVID vaccines, or the, as we lovingly call them, the jabs, showing that 50% of the deaths occur within 24 hours and 80% occur within the first week. Think about that just for a second. Let that kind of set in. 50% of the deaths that occur very rapidly, and then 80% of those are within the next week. 86% were found to have no other explanation than the deaths, even though that the physicians are saying, no, that couldn't have been. It's a week later. There's no way that that could have been associated. Or even, well, they died of a stroke, or they died of a blood clot, ignoring the fact that the vaccines are known to cause an inflammatory reaction, causing clotting. And many people have been admitted to the hospitals and have had systemic blood clot therapies that, and even still, they could have died as a result. 60% of the seniors over 65 are hospitalized, have been vaccinated. Data from Medicare and Medicaid show that 300,000 vaccinated people have breakthrough infections. 300,000, that's a huge number that is far greater than the risk of getting a problem. COVID shots are failing, my friends, across the board. They're failing wholesale. And you have to understand that. And not only are they failing to protect people, because you can still carry the virus, but your body is also mutating and being internally developing new viral forms that you have no immunological response to. So now you have multiple variants, not just the Delta variant, which is the only one that they really put out there, but you have some estimates up to 150 different forms of variant viruses that are now part of this COVID vaccine fiasco, if you will, my words and how I do this. So the FDA and the CDC should not run vaccine programs, in my opinion. And the reason why is that the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the CDC, claimed not a single death following COVID inoculations. Not one. And we all know that's a lot of poppycock, right? They should not be the ones making the determination, as they are both doing what? They both are sponsoring the vaccine programs. They're the ones that are saying, go get your shots. It's the best thing for you. Well, somebody who has an iron in the fire and has something to gain or lose from promoting a very specific agenda shouldn't be the ones that are behind the scenes and vetting this thing. We have actually fulfilled all types of criteria of this COVID-19 vaccine from an epidemiological perspective. And what we're setting aside is the fact that they are causing deaths in huge numbers. This is not something that can be set aside or modulated based on, oh, well, type of scenario. You know, the CDC and the FDA are running these vaccination programs, as I just said, and they're not the people that typically run these programs. The drug companies run programs. Well, behind the scenes, you know, think about the billions and billions of dollars on a monthly basis that these drug companies are making. Again, just a little antidote in there for you to think about, something to think about, so to speak. But the drug companies are now just the suppliers of the vaccine. Our government agencies are now just running the program. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense on any level whatsoever. If you're going to run a program, you need to run the program based on factual information and give people choices. And we haven't even gotten into choice, but where does it say that if I think this vaccine is not good for me based on my history, that I've had reactions and so forth, nobody should force me? Well, we're already finding out that there are a lot of people that are stepping up to the plate and refusing to be vaccinated. They're trying religious exemptions. If they have a doctor that knows that they had an immunological disease such as Sjogren's, or they have lupus, or they have RA, or all these things that have to do with, in admittedly, through immunological compromise, now they're going to give you a vaccine that further ties up your immune system. It doesn't make sense. So people are pushing away from it. We see the airline industry, pilots and support staff and so forth, walking away from their jobs. And where is it that they're going to force the Navy SEALs to get these vaccines? Well, we already know that they've taken a lawsuit against the government. These are the guys that are first line defenders, if you will. These are the people that are protecting us around the world. How is it that we put ourselves in such an omnipotent position that we say, you're going to get these vaccines regardless, when there's no justification that, one, they do a damn bit of good, that in fact, that they're compromising people's health and people are dying as a result of them at higher rates than if they had been susceptible to the COVID virus pattern itself. I don't know about you, but it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. The Bradford Hill criteria basically said that COVID jabs cause death. And I want you to go through and take a look at it, and says that there's a tremendous amount of association between these jabs and the things that are taking place within the body. It's very conceivable that some people pick up too much messenger RNA. That's how these vaccines work. They control your RNA. Your RNA is part of your genetic expression, but it tells your DNA, which it makes up you, what to do, right? So if it's constantly being directed into one area, then other problems begin to show up. What other problems do we know about? Well, there's a neurological condition that can be very fatal. It's called Guillain-Barré syndrome. And, you know, we heard about it the first time a few decades ago in relationship to exposures within buildings and things. And then we see more and more. So FDA warnings that there are certain mechanisms that begin to break down. Blood clotting, as we just talked about, is one of them. Someone could have a fatal blood clot. They could have a fatal myocarditis. That's an inflammation of the muscle of the heart. A pericarditis, that's the inflammation of the wrapper, the pericardium that surrounds the heart. And subsequently, that can prove to be fatal. The second criteria that they need to look at, and I want you to be aware of, is its large effect, its impact. You know, is this something that is significant? The answer is absolutely, positively, unequivocally, yes. It's not 151 versus 149 deaths. It's 15,000 deaths. So it's a very large effective size and a large effect. So this is not something that is said, oh, well, this is just a little bit. Let's not worry about this. We have to worry about it because, my friends, if we don't, we're not following the normal criteria that was the guidance before this. You know, after 5 suspected deaths of a drug in normal situations, we used to have zero tolerance. There would be a black box warning. And at 50 deaths, it would be removed from the market. Well, we're talking huge numbers in compared to that. Why isn't this vaccine being removed from the market? We know that the things that they've told us to do are control pieces, and they don't protect us. The masks really don't protect you. You're actually getting reinfected with other bacterium, if you will, in other viral situations. We know that things like vitamin D, as we talked about with the Swedish study, protect you. We know that there's things like NAC, N-acetylcysteine, which actually blocks the spike protein. I just gave a presentation about 3 weeks ago in Florida at the, again, the Council on Nutrition. This time there was about 250 people there. And I presented a paper that basically showed the effectiveness of something called Oleander 4X, which is a homeopathic extract of the oleander plant. And by the way, the oleander plant is deadly. If you put it in your mouth and suck the juice out of it, it'll stop your heart. But in micro doses, it actually stops viruses like the SARS vaccine from being able to duplicate and expand within your system. So what does that mean? It means that effectively that the virus kills itself. We know this. We know that vitamin D has a tremendous impact in protecting us against this virus and other viruses as well, that people who have low vitamin D levels are much more susceptible. We know that people who have comorbidities have a problem. So NAC and vitamin D, things of that nature, and decreasing your body's negative impact to its environment. Why? Because things like sugars and, you know, sodas and coffee and black teas and fast food and fried foods and alcohol and gluten, things that carry oxalates, cause inflammation in the body, making you far more susceptible than you would otherwise. So knowing how to protect yourself and being able to take the steps at your own volition is important. The next thing that we need to look at when it comes to all this is natural immunity, right? We know straight up across the board, if you have a natural immunological response to something, you're not getting this. I'll give you an example in my own family. When my daughter was young, we were back in the day where, you know, when measles broke out and chickenpox broke out, you had what was called affectionately, you know, measles parties. Go play with Mary because, you know, she's got the measles. And particularly living in a family that she grew up with where we could protect her with nutrients and good diet and exercise and a positive environment and structural balancing, manipulation and acupuncture, that she wouldn't have a problem. So the kids were exposed to measles, but never really came down with anything. So now it's time to go to college. And when she went to college, she had to show proof that she either had the measles antibody or she was going to have to get the measles vaccine. So she says, "Dad, what am I going to do?" I said, "You've probably been exposed to it. Go, you know, get the test." So she comes back and her immunological response to measles was extremely high. She'd been exposed. Her body did what it was supposed to do naturally. She had the strength. She had the immunological response and she's fine. And she was never put in a position where it was mandated. That made sense, right? Even if it was that risky of a situation, that made sense. If somebody has a natural immune response to something, they shouldn't be forced and put into a position where they have to do something else, which is going to further tie up their immune system. I want to give you another little piece that I want you to think about. We have all kinds of advertising going on television, and I've talked about this on my radio program, Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, but I want to offer it to you because it's within the same realm that we're talking about right now. There's all kinds of ads for drugs and vaccines out about, you know, getting different type of viral exposures and so forth. And, you know, we've said, well, if you've ever had the chicken pox, you're going to get, and the it rolls out. So if you've had a virus in your body beforehand, you had chicken pox, why would you put the same virus in your body that you've already had? Does that make any sense to you whatsoever? I've already got it. My body's reacted. I've had a good immune response. The only time that your body's not going to control that virus is if your immune system is suffering. So then you come up with the shingles. Then you come up with the other disease processes that that virus, if you will, and not just shingles, might manifest as. Whooping cough is the same thing. You know, they've put mothers into a situation where if their parents don't go get the whooping cough vaccine or any other vaccine, well, you can't come and see my child. These little babies aren't going to get this this COVID problem because they don't have the cardiolipid problem that many of us have. And that's a cell membrane that is part of the problem. They don't have the ACE receptors. That's the piece that we're talking about. I want you to take this information. I want you to think about it. There's a tremendous amount of support across the board if you do your homework. Things like vitamin D, things like oleander 4X, things like a mushroom called the Xiaogua mushroom. It's S-H-I-A-Q-G-A. Tremendous immunological support and stimulator. You can go to my website, drtomrozelle.com, and you can find it. It's there. It's a direct link to the manufacturer, and they'll hook you up. It's not going to hurt you, but they're all immunological support bases, drtomrozelle.com. We continue to do these programs on a weekly basis and bring you the most intimate information. I want you to make sure that you tune in every Sunday between 11 and 12 o'clock on the Eastern Seaboard and listen to my radio program, drtomrozelle.com. We have some exciting information and very poignant, in-your-face commentaries. The whole purpose is simply this, is to make you aware, to make you think, to make you understand that you do have options, that you can help yourself, that you can take control of your life, that you should have the information so you can weigh it and make an individual decision, not because you're forced into doing it, but make a decision based on what you know your background is. Make a decision based on, is this right for me or is this not right for me? Am I willing to take the risk? What's the cost-benefit ratio here? And your smart people continue to add to that information base. Stay tuned for our next episode. I promise you I'll bring you something that'll make you stop and think. That's why we do it. And the only other reason is simply this. We love you all. See you on the next episode. Bye.